Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back to another edition. All the Smoke coming to you from New York. Jack, what's up? I like your chain, bro.
My brother, appreciate it. Shout out to Joe Crack, Fat Joe. Appreciate you, baby.
Yes, that shit is shiny.
You did.
We got a special guest here today, man. Someone that I'm meeting for the first time in person today, but have just admired his work ethic, his grind, his hustle. Welcome, Chris Brickley.
Nah, I appreciate you guys.
CB.
You guys got a legendary show.
Appreciate you coming, man.
Off-season time, this is your time to shine right now. What has you most excited about going into the next 2021 season for the guys you train?
First off, it's not my time to shine. You know, I'm big on that. It's the player's time to get better.
Right.
I'm big on, it's not about me, it's about the guys. Got like four or five core guys that come in throughout the whole summer. And, you know, we kind of figure out different aspects of the game to get better. And then you guys, since being in New York, guys will be in and out the whole summer. I've built, like, you know, with the Black Ops, anytime someone comes in the city, they'll get a little workout in. Mm-hmm. And that's different than, like, the core guy workouts. Those are, like, you know, just getting shots and going about that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of two different things that I'm working on right now.
So when you have your core guys, I saw you watching film the other day on your IG. Like, what kind of stuff do you do? And then how much, you know, he tells you what he, like, because I remember one time, you know, I think Kobe was talking to somebody and he said something like, I can't tell you what you need to work on. You're like, you need to know what you need to improve on. So how much of that is you studying and then also collabing with your workout?
So actually, Kobe on your guys' show was saying how he's big on the player needs to communicate with the trainer what he thinks needs to work on. And, you know, it's the trainer's job to figure that out. You know, I think it's two ways. You know, you have a guy like Kobe Bryant who he's so self-aware of himself, but you have like a 19, 20-year-old rookie. They don't always know exactly what they need to work on. They might want to just score 20 points a game instead of understanding their role. And, you know, so then that's kind of when I put my input in. But, you know, when I'm working with like a James or even like a CJ or Melo, you know, it's kind of collective and they tell me, you know, I want to work on this, I want to work on that. Then it's my job to go through the film and kind of figure it out.
What is Black Ops basketball?
So Black Ops is something that me and Melo started. So I was, I actually got in a lot of trouble when I started. So I was working with the Knicks at the time.
Good trouble.
And so I'll tell the story. I was working with the Knicks at the time. We're in Puerto Rico. Melo's like, yo, when we get back to New York, put together this run. I'm like, all right. Put together this run. It was like KD. It was a bunch of non-Knicks players. And the media heard about it. And if you're coaching for an NBA team, you can't be having other players and you can't be conducting a workout with other players. So that was the start of Black Ops. And then, you know, me and Melo, we have an AAU team. We do the Black Ops runs and kind of all the training is under Black Ops. So that's kind of just what we call it.
Dope. Now, name some of, for those who aren't familiar, name, you know, some of your top guys that you've trained consistently or worked with over the years.
Yeah, so, you know, Melo's been one. JR kind of gave me my start.
Shout out to Swiss. That's my brother.
That's my guy, man. I owe him everything. You know, CJ McCollum, I worked with Donovan from, like, eighth grade till right now. So just watching that whole progression. Cole Anthony since a little kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I've worked with Kawhi for a few off seasons. I worked with Joel Embiid for a few off seasons. I've worked with KD for a few off seasons. James the last three off seasons. It's been a dope experience.
Who have you looked up to? We had a chance to have Phil Handy on a couple shows ago.
That was a dope show.
Who have you looked up to in this space? Who are some of the people you kind of have helped create your package?
I played at Louisville, so Rick Pitino. And then when I was at the Knicks, Phil Jackson, when he got the job, he literally fired the entire staff and kept me. I was like, oh shit, that, like, the day that happened, I'm like, I'm being fired. Like, this coach goes in, Woody, and he's fired. Assistant, fired. I'm the last one on the list. I'm like, call my dad. I'm like, just so you know, I'm about to get fired right now. I need to figure something out. Go in there, and Phil's like, I'm just going to ask you three questions. So I'm just like, oh man, he's not even paying attention to this. Ask me three questions. I answered them right.
He's what like, were they? Like, give me an example.
So he said, is Steve Nash an athlete? Why or why not? I said, yeah, he is. He said, why? I said, well, for starters, he has the, you know, the 3-minute, he has the record in that. And I was like, he's really good at changing speeds. I was like, being an athlete doesn't mean that you need to just be explosive. There's different types of being an athlete. So he's like, okay, give me all the characteristics of a jumper, like all the type of jumping. So I was talking about, you can be a quick jumper, you could be like a high flyer, you'd have a quick second jump. You know, that was one of the questions. He said, when you shoot a jump shot, should you go 1-2 into it or should you hop into it? I said, it doesn't really matter. I was like, there's great shooters that do both. And he's like, all right. He's like, meet me tomorrow. You're going to run the pre-draft. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, shit. And long story short, the next morning, he tried to teach me the triangle in 15 minutes. I go into the pre-draft workout. It was a disaster. He's sitting in the side. No, no. I'm like, bro, you just taught me this, the whole triangle in 15 minutes. I'm trying to run this workout. So Phil and Rick Pitino, they've kind of been my mentors through this. And I look to them for advice and stuff. Yeah,
because Phil could be intimidating.
Man.
Phil could be definitely intimidating.
Walk into that office, that dark office sometimes.
Yeah.
Got to the point where, you know, I got comfortable with him. But in the beginning, it was rough.
Dope. Again, like I said, how I found you and started watching and kind of, you know, don't really know you, but every time you accomplish something, I see you getting these partnerships and deals. I'm like, crap, congrats, dope. So let's talk about, what is it like? I mean, you have a Puma partnership, you have a Hennessy partnership, Wilson, who's going to be the new ball of the NBA next year, you have a partnership with them. I'm sure the list goes on. That's all we can find. But talk to us about what it's been like to be, you know, like you're a workout guy that has kind of taken it to another level.
And you got an album coming, right?
I do. It's going to be fire.
Okay, let's talk about that too.
So, with the partnerships, that was never the goal.
Right.
The goal was always, you know, I was with the Knicks. I was like, okay, I've met so many players through Melo. I think I can leave the Knicks and start a business. My whole family was so mad when I did that. They're like, you're going to have no health insurance. How are you going to get paid? So I left the Knicks and I struggled for a little bit, but I grinded. In my mind, I was like, something's going to work. Like, I was never big on, like, hitting the players over the head with, like, these big bills. Mm-hmm. I've never been that guy. And so, you know, I just worked. I grinded. And Puma came to me. And, you know, I became the first trainer to get a sneaker deal, like a real one. And then, like, NBA 2K had me as, like, the first trainer in the game. And signed with Body Armor. And then they just started kind of compounding. And it's been a blessing. Like I said, it hasn't always been the goal. But if I can make money through these big businesses, mm-hmm. as opposed to being like, Melo, can I get this money?
Right. That's You'd much rather that's take it from them than have to take it from the players.
Exactly. So it's a big blessing. And I'm kind of starting a blueprint for, like, you know, right. If you can't make the NBA, maybe you can look at me and say, well, I could do it like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's a great point, too, because it's similar to LeBron and his team situation. Like, he had a team and all of them played basketball, but all of them weren't going to the league. So what is your niche? You could still be a part of the game by finding your niche in it, and you're creating another lane for guys that have a passion and a love for working people out.
Yeah.
Taking it to another level.
No, it's dope.
Talk about the album.
Man, that album. So how the album came across is, so over the years, you know, as you guys know, a lot of these NBA guys are friends with the rappers, and so
we work out a lot of rappers.
But it's not like that. It's like, this is how it works. I'm working out James, Meek came to watch, the workout's done, Meek will shoot like 10 shots, someone will record it, yeah. And it's a workout. It's not real
right.
workouts.
No question.
So like, I get all this hate on social media, like, oh, you're just working out rappers. It's like, no, if you actually knew the story,
right.
I did a real workout, or one of the rappers came to the Black Ops run. Quavo is like, yo, let's shoot around. And then it's a workout. So it's not really workouts. The only time I've ever, so one winter, Travis Scott was like, yo, can you come on tour with me? Teach me how to shoot a jump shot. So I was like, actually, this can be dope. I'll go to all the NBA cities, be able to see my players, and then be part of, you know, get to be cool with Travis. So that was like the only like time I've ever like really, I guess you could technically say I was like working out and a rapper. But so the album, you know, I'm big with the workouts. Every workout I do, I ask the player what album you want to play. They give me an album, we'll play it. So I was thinking over COVID, I'm sitting there in COVID bored, and I'm like, you know what? I know all these rappers. I'm just going to start an album. So I reached out to Meek and Travis and Lil Baby and Dirk and Bieber and Chris Brown, and it's going to be a banger. And reach out to all of them, and we're working on it. Me and my manager are working on just getting the clearances. That music industry is no joke. Because they look at me, they're like,
fuck out of here.
You're a basketball trainer. Yeah. So these guys in these white ties are like, so I have all the songs. I'm just waiting on the clearances. But it'll be dope.
That's dope. That's some DJ Khaled type shit, just putting an all-star team together.
Yeah.
How has social media helped you build a business, brand, and a career?
it's helped me, you know. But at the same time, prior to me being on social media, I grinded. I played straight out of college. I was a graduate assistant at Ole Miss, you know, making like $7,000 for the year. Living in the locker room, didn't even live in a crib. You know, I didn't grow up with money. Then I took an assistant job at FDU, did that for like 2 years, and then JR kind of changed my life. So the year he was sixth man of the year, I was coaching at Fairleigh Dickinson. Every night we go in the gym, start working. He had a great year, so he went to management. Like, you know, he really helped me out last year. So I got an interview with him, and I got the job. I was a director of player development for 4 years. Shout out Swish. Like I said, I'll do anything for him. And, you know, got my feet wet in the NBA, you know, grinded that out. And then once I left the Knicks, that was kind of when I started using social media. And it's been good. You know, also people get this like when I post these workout clips, that's like 10 seconds of the workout. You know, I'm not going to post the player like going super tired, missing shots. And I hate when you read the comments like, why don't you post misses? Why don't you? It's like, why would I post misses? Right, who wants to watch? It's like, you know, it's definitely helped. Definitely helped. It's a gift and a curse at the same time. Because, you know, you sign these deals and you have to announce them. And then your family thinks that you're like this ultra rich. Like, you know, it's like it's good and it's bad. But there's more positives with it. So it's been a blessing.
Talk about your upbringing in New Hampshire.
I grew up, basketball was my life. Like, for example, in 96, I was 10 years old and I watched the McDonald's All-American game. I'll never forget it.
I should have won MVP of.
Yeah, you had 21 points. Yeah, man. I'm a basketball junkie.
Here we fucking go.
But if you really
Kobe
look at
said it,
crazy thing was is, so after I watched that Kobe, and I was like, oh, I watched that game. I go, you were the high scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were the high scorer for that game. But
thank you, Matt.
You know, I'm always giving you love.
But, what was the question?
Your upbringing in New Hampshire.
96.
Yeah, New Hampshire, man. New Hampshire, there's not much in New Hampshire. People go skiing. People, it's this woods. There's really nothing going on. So I just, my entire life was basketball. And, you know, got a Division I scholarship. And that kind of got me out of New Hampshire, and I haven't been back since.
Feel it.
When did you find a game of basketball? What age?
10. At 10, I started taking it serious. I was like doing dribbling drills every day. Someone told me to take a jump rope and do 1,000 jump ropes a day. So by the time I was like a junior, I was top 100 in the country. You know, my game felt really good. I was that guy that like, I was like, nah, I'm not having a girlfriend. Nah, I'm not drinking. I'm not, like, it was just basketball. Those are the days.
Watching your McDonald's game got him motivated, Jack.
Some killers in there now.
Who, you know, coming up, who were some of the teams and players you watched and admired?
Allen Iverson, for sure. Just, I feel like, just, you know, on the court, and then he started so many trends off the court. He's a real legend. Like, people have tattoos because of him.
Facts.
People wear the arm sleeve because of him. People dress, you know, he started so many trends. Loved him. Jay Will, that was like, you know, the white one, Jason, that was like my guy.
I honestly didn't think he was talking about the other Jay Will.
I wasn't.
The other Jay Will was nice as fuck, bro. I don't see how you don't understand and know that. You may not like the character or person, he had game,
how
bro.
Long did he play?
I played against him in college.
How long
he
did
was
he play?
A fucking killer,
in the league? How long did he play in the league?
He got in a motorcycle accident.
No, I'm saying, how long did he play in the league?
2 years, 3 years?
2 years? Yeah, he was good.
When you say Jay Will, you do not think Jay Will from Duke. I'm sorry. We think about white chocolate, okay?
He's stupid.
And you know who actually someone I would love is BD. Baron Davis was like, I just loved his game. You guys play with him.
Do you know him?
Yeah, I've met him a few times. He's reached out.
He's the most interesting person in the world.
What Baron you met?
Which Baron you met? Like 10 different Barons.
I know he's doing one time it's some weird. He's doing a lot. He's a good guy.
Yeah, it's our brother.
He's a good guy, man.
So you briefly discussed kind of your, but talk to us about your path from playing to assistant coach to that kind of continuing to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Before we ask that, you said you went to Louisville.
I did.
What other schools were recruiting you?
So coming out, I had West Virginia offered me, Rutgers offered me, Gonzaga offered me, Central Florida, South Florida.
Nice, some big schools.
Yeah, It was
what made Louisville?
Just, you know, I think Coach Pitino off the bat was like, listen, if you're loyal to me while you're here, then I'm going to be loyal to you for the rest of my life.
That's a good
question. And I was like, yo, that's dope. Because I knew, you know, I'm a realist. Like, chances are I might not make the NBA. Right. But if you're telling me that you're going
to plug.
And he's made so many calls. So right. to answer your question, you know, he got me that graduate assistant spot at Ole Miss. He helped me become the youngest Division I assistant coach in the country. You know, he, you know, helped me once JR kind of helped me with the Knicks. He made the call to Allen Houston at the time and helped me get that job. So I owe Coach P everything.
That's dope.
How did the Knicks opportunity help you grow, and what kind of relationship did you have?
My Knicks years were crazy. I went through so many different coaches.
What years were you there?
So I was there from 2013-14, and I was there for four seasons. So when I first got there, Woody was the coach. Grunwald was the GM. Then Grunwald left, Steve Mills came in. Then they hired Derek Fisher. That was probably my worst Nick years. He didn't like that me and Melo had a relationship. That was kind of weird. Anyways, so he left. And then Jeff Hornacek was there.
Damn, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Jeff Hornacek was there. And those are the three coaches. So cool stories. When I first got there, me and Melo were there. When I left, the only two people in the organization were still me and Melo.
Wow.
So it was a good time, though.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier the first Black Ops run got you in a little bit of hot water. Mm-hmm. When did you know, okay, I think I'm ready to make this jump? You say you struggled a little bit once you made the jump, but what was there a turning or pivotal moment like, it's time to go?
Being an NBA development coach, especially, you know, with the Knicks is an amazing organization, but you guys know, you guys are hoopers, like, you know, they were big on like, all right, the workout's done. I want to see every number he shot. And if he shot 6 out of 10 this day in this workout, he's not getting better. And like, it was like, no, like, you can still get better if you have like a bad shooting in the drill.
Spot.
You know, right. it was like,
they didn't get it.
I was just, yeah, to, you know, I get, didn't yeah, get it. You could say that.
They didn't get it.
So I just wanted to kind of do my own thing. And it wasn't even a guarantee. Literally, you know, it could have gone all the way bad.
Right.
And I could have ended up back in New Hampshire. But I just trusted, you know, the people I met through Melo, and it was a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
What was the memorable turning point moment for you after going off on your own?
I was like broke. Like, you know, bad. Like, bad. All my credit cards were maxed out. I kept getting evicted. It was rough times. And, you know, I signed with this guy back there. No, I signed with him, and, you know, I got the Puma deal. I became, you know, the first person in 2K, signed with StockX, you know, signed with Body Armor, signed with, you know, I kept getting these deals, Therabody. So he's changed my life. And that's, I guess that was a turning point.
Mm, that's really dope.
Dope.
What's been like building relationships with these, you know, you're working out some of the greatest players to ever play the game. What is it like developing, obviously, a working relationship, but then you're cool with I see you with a lot of these dudes, you mm-hmm. know, outside of the court as well. What's that experience been like?
It's been cool. You know, I've always been big on just being myself. Like, at the end of the day, if you don't like me for who I am, then we don't need to do the relationship.
Right.
And that's, I'm not going to say any names, but there's been some, like, NBA stars that, they, you know, if you're not gonna treat me like a human being, you're not gonna. I don't need to do this. Like, I'm not.
Right.
I'm only gonna do it if it feels right. If we click. So I'm big with the relationships. You know, to me, player development. If you don't know what the player is motivated by, good luck.
You can't get them right.
So you need to have a relationship.
The respect gotta be mutual.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have a question though before we go to the next thing, since we're on the Black Ops. I mean, those are some of the most, you know, your runs and then our homeboy Rico Hines runs at UCLA.
Yeah,
those are like
Rico.
The two. Yeah, those are like the two.
Toes.
Yeah, those are like the two main runs in the off season. Can you recall some days or some guys just memorable days? They just absolutely destroyed everybody on the court.
The most memorable one to me was Devin Booker. That just destroyed one time. One time I had Russ versus CP. They were going at it. There's been some legendary moments in that gym.
But what people don't understand, like, unless you've really been around those runs and you're only getting glimpses when you see your runs, those runs are realer than games. way realer than games because there's not as many pussy ass foul calls. Like, motherfuckers are really taking that shit one on one because it's personal. It's not about, I mean, it, obviously it's a pickup team, so mm-hmm. it's not your team. So motherfuckers are really going. And you have to also have to understand, like, guys have a role in the league. So you may think someone just does this in the game, but let them be free and they know that, that they could just go. It's a whole other story.
Facts. And, you know, the help defense isn't the greatest. So that means if you can't guard your man,
go bust your ass.
Yeah, you're going to be embarrassed for the whole day. And, like, Russell Westbrook was one guy that he gives no fucks. Like, doesn't matter who is in front of him. Every time he's been to a Black Ops, he's going to destroy you. He's not going to talk to you. Mm. He's going to be talking shit. Like, and, you know, I love that Russ Black Ops energy. It's it's fun.
It's different. Yeah, like, people don't understand, like, J.R. Smith is one of the best pickup basketball players in the history
of all time.
Of pickup basketball.
He does everything. He shoots the three. He does everything.
Yeah. Well, that's dope.
And it's not a shot he can't make on the court. Mm-hmm. Fading away.
Fast. Either shoulder, fade, don't matter.
Paint the picture for me, though. A typical packed NYC day. Black Ops Gym, what it's looking like? Like, set the scene for us.
Man.
Who's watching? Who's playing?
Yeah, set the scene.
So, you know, the Black Ops, the games have become so, it's kind of like the mini garden. Like, if you go there, if you guys were to come tomorrow, you know, there's going to be, you know, Fabulous is going to be there, and A Boogie's going to be there, and, you know, it's some actors, Selena Gomez has showed up. Like, it's kind of like if you're in town, you're going to come to the Black Ops. It's cool. It's cool that it's, like, built that. It's kind of like the garden vibe, but... Mm-hmm. With pickup, so you know that. But normally I'll do workouts. So I'll have like 3 or 4 workouts. I'll do a Black Ops run, then I'll do like 3 or 4 workouts after that. These days are a grind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I appreciate you making time. That was the first thing when I hit him up, because I just hit him up recently. I was like, bro, you want to pull up on the show? He's like, yeah, you need to come to the Black Ops though. Like, yeah. Well, I was like, but do you want to be on the show? He's like, yeah, but you know, you and Jack come to that.
Just
yeah.
I feel like you guys would
enjoy. We would appreciate it, because like I said, I know what them runs are real. Like, I'll go up and fuck with Rico sometimes and check his runs out. Mm-hmm. And these runs are, like, to me, they're realer than games, because like I said, it's really man on man pride. Like, mm-hmm. you don't want to let the world know that this dude just busted your ass all day, because everyone's going to know.
Yeah.
And like you said, ain't no referees that'll dictate the game.
Yeah. Exactly. You continue to climb up the ladder. What was it like partnering up with ESPN Plus with your series Declared?
It was a little uneasy because, you know, I had a rough childhood. I, you know, my mom committed suicide.
I had
a bunch of, like, things. And so when you do these shows, they, like, you know, people like drama. So they wanted to, like, you know, to go to my mom's grave and like that. So it was a little uncomfortable. I know the next time, whether we do season 2 or whatever we do, it'll be smoother. But just to understand that everyone's going to watch you while you're at your most, like, vulnerable moments, sitting at your mom's grave, stuff like that. It was a learning experience. It was fun, though. We won a Webby, or were up for a Webby for it. So it was
Congrats.
Cool.
Congrats. Talk to me about Kevin Porter Jr. He was someone you worked with, didn't get off to a good start, but this kid is so fucking talented, man.
So talented. He's a beast. And everyone that sees it, like, James is like, yo, we need to, like, make sure we work together this summer. Mello watch.
Dope.
He's a hooper. He has handle. He can shoot. He's athletic. He's made a few mistakes, and you know that's kind of caused him. But at the end of the day, I like him at Houston better than I like him at Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So I think he has a super bright future.
Yeah, I like him.
How did the opportunity of NBA 2K come about?
Man, that kind of like changed my life from a sense of like, I'll go to the airport and people will be like, yo, are you Chris Wrigley from 2K? Like, a lot of little kids just know me from Chris Wrigley from 2K, might not even know I'm a trainer in real life. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So you have the whole world playing a video game. It has my tattoos and drills, and it's amazing.
I talked to Ronnie 2K at Quavo Celebrity Game. We need to put all the smoke on 2K.
No, we can make that happen. Alex can make that happen.
If you get that shit done, I'm gonna hire you too. God damn it, fuck it.
Nah, fat. We can make that happen.
But no, I think that would be dope. And I saw the interview, like, my boys knew about that, because I was just like, they're like, Dad, do you know him? I'm like, not really. I've been DMing. He's like, well, you need to take us to New York and work out. I was like, okay, need to do, right? Yeah. So that'd be dope. Up to this point, it's been incredible. I'm sure the best is yet to come, but what would you say you're most proud of?
My dad was a postal worker. He worked for the USPS, like a mailman, my whole childhood. And so I struggled really all my 20s and up until like 3 years ago, I finally started like making real money. Once I started making real money, I went home, went to his work, surprised him and said, yo, retire. You can retire. I got you.
That's a good feeling.
That's the best feeling ever. That's the most proud moment.
That's dope. All right, coming to the end right here. Quick hitters, first thing to come to mind. Top five, this is going to be tough. Most skilled players you've worked with.
I got to go with Melo. I got to go with James. I got to go with Kawhi. Got to go with KD.
And spot.
This is tough. Skilled. I mean, I'll go with Russ.
Yeah. Super skilled.
All Hall of Famers.
Yeah. All-time favorite starting five.
This is just...
Anybody,
just, yeah. I mean, me and Melo were just talking about this. This is tough. I'm going with Pistol Pete at the one, AI at the two, Melo at the three, LeBron at the four. I'm going with... I'm from New England, so I'm going with Bill Russell at the five.
Top very five artists.
Very interesting. I know that's not the politically correct way.
That's good,
he said interesting.
That's good, though.
Top five artists in the game?
Yeah.
Man, I got to go with... Everyone that's showing love on the album. So Lil Baby, I gotta go with Dirk, that's my guy. I gotta go with Meek, I gotta go with Travis, and I gotta go with A Boogie.
A Boogie with the hoodie.
Yes, sir.
Three songs always on the Black Ops playlist.
You know what? This is a weird one, but it's always on there. Jay and Biggie, Brooklyn's Finest. Mm-hmm. For some reason guys love that song. Two other ones that's always on there. I would have to go with Dreams and Nightmares, Meek, the intro, that's always on there.
Classic.
And I would have to go with, you know, R.I.P. Nipsey, but, you know, there's always something Nipsey on there. And he great music to work out to.
Yeah, I'll have fit in just fine there if you're playing some Nip.
Yeah.
One message on a billboard for the world to see.
Don't let people tell you how you should live your life. Simple as
don't
that.
Don't let people tell you how you should live your life. That's dope. It's simple, just that simple, though. Who do you want to see on All the Smoke? Before you answer, you got to help us with your answer. Mm-hmm. Get them on the show.
Okay. This could be any music or...
Anybody.
Okay. You got to get with Dirk and Baby, because they just came out with the album together, their joint album.
That'd be perfect.
Both of them.
I know Baby, but I know Dirk, but I don't know...
I can help with that.
We need both of them on here.
Well, Chris, man, we want to thank you. We appreciate you. Like I said, I've been a big fan. I love your evolution. I learned more about your story today. But like I said, without realizing, you're setting the blueprint for who's next. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that was something that Jack and I, when we just jumped in, like we just jumped in this shit because we love it. You do what you're doing, but we're setting the blueprint as well in this space. So, man, we always want to give people their flowers and show our appreciation.
Fresh from a workout.
Fresh off a workout. You're working out mellow.
Appreciate your time.
And so for me, man, both you guys are literally legends to me. Like, you know, you're a second round pick, bro. And you're averaging 20, 18. You have a ring. You guys both have these amazing careers. I feel like when you guys started this podcast, people were like, oh, we'll see how it is. You guys have the best athletes in the world. Like, you guys are doing it big. And, you know, it's tough to be a player and then leave and then do something big
as host. Big,
it's tough, and you guys are big time. So
appreciate
that,
man.
You guys, man.
Thank you for your time.
Bro. Appreciate you, bro.
That's a wrap. CB.
C Bizzle.
You can catch us on Showtime Basketball, YouTube, and the iHeart platform, Black Effects. See y'all next week.
This is All the Smoke, a production of the Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.